only in a small town like Sunridge can you have a homecoming at the garbage dump. And that's just how it worked. I just happened to go down the garbage dump one day and saw a guy getting out of the truck, and he looked at me and he said, "I think I should know you." And I said, "You're Al Kidd." He goes, "Yeah, and you're Don Smith." And then he said, "Pete, hey, Pete, come on over here. This is Don. Don used to live here." "Oh, yeah. How's it going, Don?" And then Dave Johnson drove in. "Hey, Don, how's it going?" So pretty soon there was four or five guys, and we never did dump our garbage. We just chatted and had a good long chat and so forth. So, you know, there you go. So it's nice reunion that took place for us all. And we came back refreshed and had a real good time, thanks to the hospitality of Scott and Vi letting us use their cottage for a while. We're glad that you're with us. I know a lot of people are away throughout the summer and so forth, but we just want to say good morning to each other. I've got a really long, boring sermon this morning. So actually what I'm trying to say is I have a lot of scripture I want to cover. So I'm going to move very quickly when we get back from welcoming one another. Just beg you to say good morning and then maybe get back to your students as soon as you can. Okay, let's say good morning to each other. What I had to do about over a year ago was to make our way through the scriptures so that at the end of our journey, which will probably be at the end of December, we will have touched on every book in the Bible. I've never done that before. And it's not too often that, you know, we preach many sermons from people like Amos and Habakkuk and Malachi and things like that. So it's kind of interesting we were able to touch on these things. Today we're going to spend a fair amount of time in the book of Acts. But before we get to Acts, we'll kind of ramble just a little bit. Because for Paul, the Apostle Paul, the gospel was his favorite word. That and grace, and he combines both of them. But Paul was a big believer in sharing this gospel, and he says the mystery that has been kept hidden from the beginning of time is that Jesus Christ is for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. And I know for us living in Canada, that's not such a big deal. But it was a huge deal back in that first century where the House of Israel, if you will, felt like they had the exclusive part of waiting for that Messiah to come. And Paul, who was a Gentile and yet also Jewish blood, also understood paganism and everything else about it, he was the one that helped, along with Peter, bringing Jew and Gentile together. But the constant message from Paul was the gospel. And the gospel meant something specific. So when you read the New Testament at the beginning, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All those four books are sometimes called the gospels. But in reality, they aren't the gospels. All four books are four different books. But in each one of those books, part of that book is part of the story of the gospel. So they contain the gospel. But Paul goes to great length in illuminating the gospel in his writings. And so Luke, who probably never laid eyes on Jesus, learned about the gospel, learned about Jesus through Paul. And Luke is the one who writes Acts and also writes his own novel. And then throughout the Bible, we find this gospel being reiterated. I'm going to begin in a little passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. And it's a beautiful comment. Paul says this, "Remember Jesus Christ." Now stop. Well, let me just do this. Let me just read it. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel." And when I first read that, it just went over like, yeah, okay, and passed it over. This is a monumental statement that Paul is making. He succinctly shares gospel. It's what he says. Remember Jesus. Jesus was a common name. Christ was not. Remember the Messiah. Remember Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, raised from the dead, deity, descended from David, humanity. This is my gospel. Part of Paul's explanation of the gospel is not just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it's that God came in human form to rescue us from our sins. That's the word Christ. Raised from the dead, that's God. Descended from David, that's humanity. Paul says, this is my gospel. So in a brief comment, he's sort of saying what he says in 2 Corinthians, that God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, if you want to follow along, I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul really lays out the gospel. He presents the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance. And here's the gospel: that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have died, fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as one who is abnormally born. He just lays out the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul is always bringing people back to that and not to get off track. So one more, if you would, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. If you ever want to read a book to someone who's a little bit hot under the collar, that's the book of Galatians. I think it's profound that the first two New Testament books that were actually written were Galatians and 1 Thessalonians. The Galatian letter is a letter written by Paul to a group of Jewish churches. Thessalonians is a Gentile church. I think it's brilliant that the first New Testament books were written to a Gentile church and a Jewish church, which is the overall theme of the entire New Testament. Jew and Gentile coming together. This was a mystery, Paul said, hidden from the beginning and has now been revealed. But the warning goes, don't let anything get in the way of the gospel. Not even religion. The Galatian church was full of religion. Old Testament religion. And Paul doesn't like it. Listen to what he says. Galatians 1, starting in verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let that person be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let that person be under God's curse. And then he goes on in that book telling them what they're spending all of their time doing, which is what they used to do under the old law. And Paul says it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Here's what needs to be preached. Jesus Christ comes in the form of a human being as God himself, showing and demonstrating how to live that life of faith. And it's true also for today. Okay, so now I'm just going to slow down and we're going to spend the rest of our time in Acts. And I'd like us to just notice how this gospel is presented. And Luke does a masterful job at doing this, in presenting his narrative. Now, even though Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all somewhat similar. They all present this narrative, this story, in their own way. They shape it in their own way. Matthew is wanting to share what discipleship looks like, what it is for the gospel to be lived out. Whereas Mark is more of, here's what it is, here's the challenge. And Luke is one that's always constantly bringing Jew and Gentile together. And so here Luke picks it up in Acts, and he tells this wonderful story about Peter preaching the gospel. So in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 22, here's what he says. "People of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." And I don't mean to laugh, but I remember preaching something similar to this. I was down in Texas, and I was sharing this scripture, and I read verse 23. I said, "This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." And then I read, "But God raised him from the dead." And before I could read further, the church of about 400 people said, "Amen." That's what they wanted to hear. He died, but he came back to life, and he's living, and he's as alive today as he ever was. And even though we read what the gospel was, the gospel being lived out today is the same forever. And it's that story that's continually repeated unless we get off track. So continuing on in Acts, let's take a look at another gospel, another time the gospel was presented. I want to go to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 13. And this time it's not Paul. Again, this time it's Peter. From Acts 2, it was Peter. But Luke is recording this in Acts. And beginning in verse 13, here's what's said. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this." And everyone went, "Amen." Well, one more story in Acts that I think is pretty cool is Acts chapter 10. And one of the reasons why this is so neat is it's the demonstration of how Jew and Gentile, through the gospel, are actually coming together as one. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 34. And this is the story of Peter going to the house of a Gentile. And again, I don't think that this has much impact on us. But back then, it was huge because Peter, when the Lord was telling him to go, you remember the dream that he had, the vision that he had, and the Lord was telling him to go, Peter's, it was almost like Peter was saying to God, "God, you don't really understand the gospel. I'm not really supposed to go and spend time with Gentiles. So, you know, I can't go. You're asking me in this vision to eat food that Jews are not supposed to eat. So, you know, maybe God, maybe I need to tell you a little bit more about what the gospel is all about," which is, I know, a ridiculous thing to say, but what is being called upon by Peter is to open a door that had never been opened before. Go. And Peter goes, I'm sure with knees knocking, because he said to them, you know, it's against our tradition to even visit in a house of a Gentile person, let alone talk with them, let alone eat with them. It was huge. And so here's the story. In verse 34 of Acts chapter 10, then Peter began to speak, and he said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts those of from every nation who fear him and do what is right. That's going to come back to haunt Peter, because he's one day going to show up in a church in Galatia, and he's going to be eating with some Gentiles, which he'd said he'd learned, and everyone's welcome. And then people from Jerusalem are going to come down who aren't too accepting of that. And Peter sees these Jewish people coming in, and he gets up from eating with the Gentiles and excuses himself from them, almost turning his back on them, and sits down to eat with the Jews. And he was caught in his old way of religion. It has its grip. It has its grip. And sometimes when God wants to bring us into a new way of thinking, it can be so difficult. And I'm sure it was even for Peter. So he makes this comment. I know that God doesn't show any favoritism, but he showed favoritism. But I think there are times in our own life when we get this way. So isn't it interesting how we love the gospel so much, and yet sometimes we find ourselves dancing around things that we shouldn't be dancing around at all. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's part of it. Everyone can use their talents that God has given them. So go back to the story, verse 36. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what was happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing, and all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. And we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead, and on the third day caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He wasn't just a ghost. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he's the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and dead. And this last verse is a profound statement. All the prophets testify about him. All the prophets testify about Jesus. Really? Malachi? Isaiah? Obadiah? Nahum? Jeremiah? List all of them. And Jesus reminds us after he's raised from the dead that everything that happened to him was already spoken about by all the prophets. So maybe one of these days we'll preach a series on what did Nahum say about Jesus? What did Micah say about Jesus? Every single one of them spoke about Jesus. And so verse 43, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So let me close going back to Acts chapter 2 for just a moment. And I'll close with this, starting in verse 36. We have often preached the gospel eliciting a response. And I think that's valuable. Barbie was telling me last night that she got reading some information about Billy Graham and how many millions of people he has preached to over the years, and that he's presented the gospel. And sometimes many of us have felt maybe a little bit awkward about that because we haven't heard Billy Graham talk too much about baptism. And yet, when you read the stories of the gospel being presented in the book of Acts, seldom does Paul or Peter ever elicit a response. We preach the gospel and ask people to respond, to come to Christ Jesus, to believe that he's the Son of God, to be baptized into Jesus Christ. And I think that's so good. I think that's really, really important. Thing is, Paul really didn't do that. Nor did Peter. When they asked for a response, they asked for a response because somebody from the crowd said, "What am I going to do about this message?" Which all preachers would love at the end of a sermon. "So what do you want us to do?" And often, Peter and Paul would just go and present it and leave it. And then come back, maybe present it and leave it. And then pretty soon, people were coming to them to say, what am I supposed to do? And here in Acts chapter 2 is this response after this great sermon that was preached by Peter, starting in verse 36. "Therefore, let all Israel..." See, the Gentiles weren't really accepted at that point. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Well, brothers, what shall we do?" So there's murmuring. You know, here's Peter preaching and all the other apostles are there. And then people start murmuring and start saying, "Well, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do?" There's this comment that's just kind of flowing out amongst the crowd. What is it that we're supposed to do? And Peter says, "To repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off," Gentiles at that point, "for all whom the Lord our God would call." And with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them to save themselves from that generation. And those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. So I use all this information and probably way too much time to just say that in the book of Acts, it's the gospel being spoken. But it's about this much compared to what it looks like to be lived out by each individual. And it was a unique calling that still is that calling for us. That the gospel is, here's the information, now what do you do about it? At our earlier service this morning, I just said, sometimes religion can get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. It is possible that we can get so tied up in what we are doing religious-wise that we forget about that relationship with Jesus, just as it is for all of us with how we treat our husbands or treat our wives. Love them so much, but sometimes we don't demonstrate it, and we have to be reminded. That's why we have Valentine's Day and a few other things. And I think sometimes, even when we have stuff like, you know, the candlelight Christmas Eve service or special events, Good Friday service and so forth, it's a reminder. Oh yeah, religion can help us with our understanding, but it needs to move us to this relationship that we're going to have. And that's the gospel being lived out by all of us. Thank you.